Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levioner. Westerns coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear Dr. Six Gun from 1954. But right now, a broadcast of Gunsmoke from late in their CBS radio run from June 1st, 1958. William Conrad and Parley Bear star in the episode called Quarter Horse.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. Story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Bartender, set out another bottle of that rye whiskey.
Now, look, Mr. Thatcher, you just tell us once more about this stud colt you got up.
He's a good colt, Mr. Butler.
Uh-huh, and a running colt, you tell me.
He can run some.
Some? About the fastest thing in these parts, I hear tell.
You're making fun of me, Mr. Butler, you and your friend.
Oh, I don't know why you should think that. Out here in Dodge, we're all interested in good horse flesh. Especially when it's some sort of a fancy new breed. Quarter horse, you call it, huh?
If you don't mind, I'll be going now.
Oh, no. Not yet, Mr. Thatcher. We'd all like to hear some more about your stock, wouldn't we, boys?
Why, sure.
Mr. Butler, my grandson's waiting for me outside.
Hey, Thatcher, tell us again about this little old sawed-off colt of yours. I understand these new type horses you raise have rumps so high they look like they're going downhill.
Hank, it ain't polite to call his colt that way. Besides, it ain't that he's sawed off. It's just that he's got no back. His withers run right into his croup.
He's quarter horse and three quarters what else?
I guess this is all fun for you, but you got no call.
Oh, now, boys, I do believe Thatcher's upset. Here, let me pour you another drink.
No, thanks. I'll be going.
No, that just ain't sociable. Here, have a drink.
I said no, Mr. Butler.
Drink it.
I'm old enough to be your father, Mr. Butler, and I'll drink when I want and with who I want.
You ornery old goat, I'll pour this whole stinking bottle down your throat.
All right,
you...
Butler, that's enough.
Evening, Marshal Dillon.
Mr. Thatcher, your grandson's waiting outside in the buckboard. You better get along home, huh?
Yeah. Thank you, Marshal. Thank you very much.
Old fool. Bragging on the quarter colt he's so proud of. Well, buy a drink, Marshal.
No, thank you.
You just missed the fun. We were having old Thatcher on about his stock.
He's not young anymore, Mr. Butler. But let me warn you about something. Sometime you may push him too far.
Oh, we were just hurrahing him a bit. We didn't do any harm.
Thatcher and his grandson are new out here. You find your fun somewhere else, Butler. Why don't you leave him be?
Matt?
You know, when you torment an old man like that, it makes you cheap. Real cheap.
Matt.
Sit down, Matt. You could buy me a drink if you wanted.
Yeah, sure. Sam, send over a drink for Miss Kitty, will you?
I have to drink alone? Usually my partner drinks with me.
Not tonight, Kitty.
You mad about something, Matt?
No. Tired, maybe.
I saw you talking with Ed Butler over there. He say something to set you off?
Yeah, maybe that's it, Kitty. I don't know. Oh, thanks, Sam. There you are.
That was old man Thatcher over there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whenever he comes in here, Butler gets him started on this new breed of horse Thatcher's got. Is that what it was tonight?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Happens every time he comes to town, Matt.
He's an old man, Kitty. There's no way he can fight back.
Well, Matt, it's not your worry. You can't keep Butler off his back any more than I can.
Yeah, they're like vultures circling a buffalo that's hurt, just waiting for the time when he finally goes down so they can settle for a meal.
Matt.
I'm thirsty after all. I think I will have that drink, Kitty. Sam! Chester, if you'd run these papers over to Mr. Hightower.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. Another wanted poster on Johnny Ringo.
Mr. Hightower's waiting for him, Chester.
Yes, sir, but Johnny Ringo's out in Arizona. He never comes back this way.
Chester.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon, I'll take him right over. Is there anything for me to do while I'm down at the other end of the plaza?
No, nothing I know of.
Well, then I'll just wait around down at the depot then, Mr. Dillon, if it's all right. The morning train's due in from St. Louis in half hour.
All right, Chester. Yeah.
Marshal Dillon?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Thatcher.
Got a minute to spare? I have a favor to ask.
Yeah, certainly. Come on in. Mr. Hightower's waiting, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Well, sit down, Mr. Thatcher.
First of all, Marshal, I want to thank you for what you did last night over at the Texas Trail.
Butler and his crowd just had too much to drink, that's all.
Maybe I did, too. Once I started, it's hard to stop. Then I get to arguing. I'm too old to argue that way.
Well, maybe you shouldn't go to the Texas Trail. Seems every time you do, Butler takes his pleasure riding you.
Well, it's that I wanted to talk to you about.
No? Well, go on.
Well, Ed Butler's always said he's got the best horses around Dodge or anywhere else.
Well, maybe he does, Mr. Thatcher.
Mine are better.
Well, I don't know anything about your stock.
Marshal Dillon, Ed Butler's having breakfast right down the street at the Dodge House. I want you to walk down there with me.
Now, look, Mr. Thatcher, I don't want to mix up in any personal problems between you and Ed.
Well, this ain't completely personal, Marshal. Oh, save maybe in a way. I come to you because I figure you're the one man in Dodge with nothing to gain. And you'll be honest. I got something here. I want you to take it.
No?
It's the deed to my ranch.
Why are you giving it to me?
I want you to hold that deed and come with me to meet Ed Butler. I'm going to challenge him to a grudge race. My quarter colt against the best horse he's got.
You mean you're putting up your ranch on this race?
Yes, sir. And I want you to hold the stakes.
Look, it's no business of mine, but you could lose, you know.
No, sir. I don't figure I can.
Mr. Thatcher, you and your grandson have been over here from Missouri better than a year now. Now, you know how these people are, men such as Butler and the rest. There's nothing more fun than ragging somebody. Somebody who fights back but isn't too strong.
You're trying to lecture me, Marshal.
Well, it's because you're new here that they're making it rough for you. You just don't know the ways yet.
It's no good, Marshal.
Look, Mr. Thatcher, you're putting up everything you got on this race. Now, what makes you so sure you can win? What's so special about this stud colt that you've raised?
He's a little special in most every way, Marshal. His daddy was Coal Deck, and his mother was the best mare in Missouri. Oh, I know why Butler and the others laugh at him. Compared to some horses, he looks like a bulldog beside a greyhound. His head's short, and he carries it too low. He's built too close to the ground, with bulging muscles and short legs. But I'll tell you one thing. He's just gone four, and as he stands now, he's the most horse west of St. Louis. And there are some like him in Texas now. And if I have any say, one day quarter horses will be all over the West. When a man gets to be my age, Marshal Dillon, he's got to stand behind what he believes. And I believe in this little horse. He's sleepy and he's quiet, but he can unwind like lightning.
Hey, you've got a feel for horses, haven't you, Mr. Thatcher?
It ain't much of a man talks one way and thinks another. Will you walk with me down to the Dodge House?
Yeah, I'll walk with you.
I'm going to have some more.
Well, Butler, that's it. And Mr. Thatcher here has asked that I hold the purse.
Couldn't ask for anything more fair than that.
Then you race?
Why, sure, I'll race. You name the day and the time, I'll be there.
This afternoon, then, across the river.
Good enough for me.
All right, we'll make it at 2:00. I'll have Doc Adams there to look over the horses. They'll both be sound or there'll be no race. Is that agreed?
That's good.
And they'll run the way they are, shod or not shod. And Mr. Thatcher has suggested a distance of 400 yards.
That's right.
400 yards? Hardly worth running, but I'm willing.
All right, since you accept the match, Mr. Butler, you'd best have come to some agreement on the bet with Mr. Thatcher here.
What do you figure your ranch is everything on its worth, Thatcher?
Maybe $4,000?
That's high for just 500-600 acres, a few outbuildings, and a couple of old milk cows. I'll put 4,000 against your deed. Marshal, I'll give it to Hank here. He'll bring it over to your office.
All right, if you have it there by noon.
Hey, how about a side bet for me, Mr. Thatcher?
Well, I don't know.
Hank?
Hey, Edge, what?
I seen a quarter mare named Bell run down Galveston last July. And I seen Thatcher's colt run a little. I'll take your side bet. Name it.
400.
Double that, it's a bet.
Good enough.
Then it's 800, and I'll bet the quarter colt.
Well, now, Mr. Thatcher, seems Jim Bales here don't have no more sense than you. Well, at least you're not alone.
All right, then. Everything's settled. Just one last thing, gentlemen. This is going to be a fair race.
Well, no need to worry, Marshal. Ain't no reason to press my luck. Not against a jug-headed cayuse like Thatcher.
Why, you know...
All right, that's enough. Now, come on, Mr. Thatcher. Let's get out of here, huh? Now, why don't you go on home? I'm going back to the office.
You think I'm just an old fool, don't you?
Yes, Mr. Thatcher, I do. You're headstrong and you're stubborn. But, good luck to you this afternoon.
You know, Matt, there have been horse races in Dodge before, lots of times. But I never seen one where so many people got concerned. Why, the whole town's in on it. Everybody's betting one way or another.
Yeah, I know. And I don't like it, Doc.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, people lack an excuse to celebrate. And this afternoon there'll be whiskey running to help them. Whiskey and horses don't mix when there's money changing hands.
Matt, are you worried about Thatcher putting his ranch up on the race?
He could lose his ranch, Doc.
Oh, no. Well, doesn't he have a chance?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
Oh, hello, Doc.
Well, Chester, huh?
Say, I was down at the bridge a few minutes back watching for Butler to take his horse across. I wanted to know which one he was running.
Well?
And I didn't recognize the horse. I thought probably it'd be his sorrel, but it wasn't. It was a horse I ain't never seen before.
Well, what horse is it, Chester?
Ed Butler ain't putting in no cow pony, Mr. Dillon. He's running a thoroughbred.
Well,
he's got no chance at all now. Is that it, man?
Mr. Thatcher's betting everything he has on this quarter horse of his to beat a cow pony. Now Butler's running a pure racing horse, a thoroughbred. Well, it's past one. Let's get over to the other side of the river.
Like half a Dodge is over here, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, maybe more than that. Chester, see if you can find Ed Butler and old man Thatcher and bring him over here, huh?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Matt.
Oh, hi, Kitty.
I haven't seen this many people in one spot since last year when Eddie Foy played the Opera House. It's kind of a fiesta, isn't it?
Yeah, in a way.
Nobody would think it to look at you. Where's the finish line going to be, Matt? I want to see good.
Back up there about 50 yards.
Oh, well, I'll go up and find me a place.
Yeah, okay.
Matt! Hello, Matt.
Yeah, Doc.
Oh, here you are. Well, I've looked over both horses. They seem sound enough.
Good.
I don't get much call to check horses anymore. Mostly it's babies these days. Or maybe a gunshot wound.
Doc, who's going to ride for Butler and Thatcher, you know?
Butler's got Hank Thomas,
And I think Thatcher's grandson's going to ride for him.
Well, I hope the boy knows what he's doing.
I think he does, Matt. He's got spurs and a switch.
Well, that'll help.
See, Matt, Thatcher's getting all liquored up.
Well, that's his affair, isn't it, Doc?
Yeah, but he's got a skin full. You know how edgy he gets when he's that way.
I sent Chester for him. He should be along any minute.
The whole crowd seems kind of excited and nervy. Maybe I'll pick up some business out there, huh?
That's not funny, Doc.
I'm sorry, man.
Mr. Dillon, I found Mr. Butler,
but
I couldn't...
Marshal.
Where's Thatcher?
Oh, I wouldn't know. Last time I saw him, he was pouring down some red eye. Preparing for the loss, maybe.
Well, Mr. Hightower and Doc here are going to act as judges along with me. Chester will fire the starting gun.
It's all terrible fancy for just a whim of that old fool Thatcher's, ain't it?
You may call me an old fool now, Butler, but it'll be different after the race.
You're drunk, Thatcher.
Any law say a man can't win a horse race if he's drunk?
Well, what's the matter? Need courage to bring your horse out here to the flat?
All right, stay out of it, Butler. Mr. Thatcher, is your grandson all set?
Yes, sir, Marshal.
How about you, Butler?
We're ready.
All right, then tell your riders to take their horses down to those two buckboards down there. That'll be the starting line.
You thought you'd fool me, didn't you, Butler? Bringing out that thoroughbred to run. Well, I don't care. I can still beat you.
You're talking an awful lot for a man. I ain't worried.
Don't ride me, Butler. I've had enough.
Now, listen to me, Thatcher. I put up with your chatter long enough.
Why are you...
All right, that's enough.
You just see to it you win, Thatcher. I'll have your ranch and that colt you think so much of.
Oh. What did you say?
You heard me. Just make sure you win, if you can. Oh.
What did you say about my colt? What did you mean?
Well, if my bay mare wins, I get your ranch and everything on it. That includes your colt.
No, that isn't right.
Well, what about it, Marshal? You're holding the purse and drawing up all the rules, it seems. What about it?
Butler's right, Mr. Thatcher. That's the way you made the bet.
You're no good, Butler. No good at all.
I didn't make the bet.
All right, both of you, move your horses down to the starting line. It's 2:00.
Hank, move that bay down those marks.
Well, go on down, Mr. Thatcher.
Yes, sir, yes.
Chester, you walk with him. Give him 5 minutes, and then you can start him off.
5 minutes. Yes, Mr. Dillon.
Well, I was right. Wasn't it, Mac? Thatcher's been drinking some.
Yeah. Come on, Doc. We'll look up Mr. Hightower.
All right. You know, Matt, this is like a holiday. It's like a fiesta.
Yeah, that's what Kitty said.
Oh, she's out here, too, huh? Yeah, well, I guess maybe outside of Mr. Thatcher, the only person not enjoying himself is you.
Do I have to enjoy it, Doc?
I'm sorry, Matt. What's up?
Come on, Doc, run!
Wait, Mr. Dillon, it's Mr. Thatcher. He's been shot.
Shot? Where is he, Chester?
Right over there, laying on the ground. His boy is with him.
All right. Let me through. Let me through. I'm the doctor. Let me through here. Oh, here now, just a minute.
No. It's not much use looking, Doc. I know where it is.
He's bad, Matt.
What happened, Mr. Thatcher?
And now I won't see him run.
Mr. Thatcher, listen to me.
Now I'll never know for sure if my colt could...
What happened, Chester? You were with him?
Mr. Dillon, I don't know. I was walking along, not thinking anything particular. Thatcher and Butler was up ahead, and then Thatcher drew on Butler, tried to shoot him.
I shot him, if that's what you want to know, Marshal.
It was self-defense, Marshal.
That's what it was, Mr. Dillon. But still,
he was drunk. You saw that for yourself. Then he tried to kill me.
That's right, Marshal. What it says is right.
That's the way it happened, Mr. Dillon.
Suppose now that... That forfeits the race, don't it, Marshal?
Doc, will you take care of... get him into a wagon and back into town. I'll see you back there.
Oh, sure, Matt. Now, you men, will you give me a hand here now?
Just stand back. What about that forfeit, Marshal?
You just can't wait till a man's cold before you want his property, can you?
Oh, it ain't that, Dylan.
The race ain't forfeit. I'll run it.
That's the Thatcher boy, Mr. Dillon.
Come here, son. What's your name?
I'm Lonnie Thatcher. I'm going to ride Granddaddy's colt.
Well, now, look, maybe...
I'm kin. Granddaddy was queer, kind of, but what he said about this colt is right. And I'm riding him in the race.
Yeah, but with what's happened, Lonnie, maybe we should put the race off. We'll run it, sure, but not today, not now.
I'll agree to put it off.
Granddaddy'd like it best this way. We'll race.
Gracious. Ain't a tear in his eye, Mr. Dillon.
All right, if that's the way you want it.
It's what I want.
All right, then, get on down to the starting line, both of you. Go on, Chester.
Yes, sir. I was looking for you, Marshal. Are we going to have the race?
Yeah.
That's a good thing, you know. There'd be a lot of people disappointed if it didn't come off.
And we wouldn't want that, would we, Mr. Hightower?
How's that?
The killing's hardly enough to make the day complete, is it?
No, Marshal, I didn't mean anything wrong. It's just...
Yeah, sure, sure. Just forget it. Move on up to the finish line. I'll get a couple of these riders to clear the lane.
All right, Mr. Dillon.
You there. Would you ride down toward the start and make everybody move back and clear a lane, huh? All right, everybody. Well, will you get back, please?
Move back. That's it. Well, it's time, Marshal.
Yeah.
What's Chester waiting for?
It looks like the colt's acting up.
I've never seen two different breed of horses run against each other.
And that colt's kicking up a storm.
Could make a good column for the paper, maybe.
Come on, come on. Get a hold of him, kid.
Don't you think it'd make a good column, Marshal? I guess there was no question about it, Matt.
Yeah, it was the colt by half a length.
A quarter horse beat a thoroughbred. Now, that is something to see. And it's a new kind of horse in these parts.
Well, Marshal, you should be happy.
Because the boy won? And for that, I am happy, yeah.
Well, I got no complaint, Marshal. It was fair and square.
If you gentlemen will excuse me, I want to get back to the office.
Sure, Mr. Hightower.
Look, Marshal, about what happened this afternoon. About... Thatcher. I didn't really hold anything against the old man. I'm sorry it happened.
I told you sometime you'd push him too far. Now he's dead.
Well, after all, Marshal, he drew first.
Oh, I'm not saying you're a murderer, Butler. But you're small inside. The only feeling I got for you is contempt. You're responsible for the death of that man today, and yet there's nothing I can do about it.
You're blaming me for everything?
Ah, it's not you. I guess it's just people. Good day, Mr. Butler.
Matt, I was looking for you.
Where's Lonnie Thatcher, Kitty?
Standing over there by his horse, crying. Maybe you ought to talk to him, Matt.
I'm going to.
Well, he doesn't want to see anybody. Some of us tried talking to him, and he just walked away.
I'll see you later. Hey, boy, you better walk that horse. Any horseman who knows he shouldn't be standing around after running like that.
Yes, sir.
All right. I got $4,000 for you, Lonnie. Do you want to take it, or shall I give it to Banker Hodgson?
I'll take it.
It might be better to leave it in the bank.
I said I'll take it.
All right, son. Here.
Thank you, Marshal Dillon.
You got any plans?
Yes, sir.
What?
I'm going to do what my granddaddy always wanted to do. I'm going to raise horses like this stud colt. I'm going to breed them.
Where are you going to do this? At your granddaddy's place?
Yes, sir.
That's a big spread for a boy to handle alone.
I'll manage.
How old are you, Lonnie?
I got $4,000 to help me. And I'm old enough to know my mind.
Yeah, I guess you are.
And you know something else, Marshal? I understand these quarter horses, just like my granddaddy did. When men in these parts get sense enough to be interested in new stock and want good mounts with a fine way of going, they can come and buy them from me, Lonnie Thatcher.
Yeah. And if I'm any judge, that may not take too long, Lonnie.
Thanks, Marshal Dillon.
The boy's eyes were glistening as he turned and walked away, leading his stud colt home. Most of the crowd had left. They'd gone back into Dodge to rerun the race over a drink or two and talk about this new kind of horse, this stocky, heavy-muscled, quick-as-lightning quarter horse that had come to Dodge. And now it was getting darker because of some clouds building up over in the northwest. And when I looked again, the boy and his horse had almost vanished from sight.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 1st, 1958 on CBS, probably one of their quickest turnarounds in terms of a repeat, using director and producer Norman McDonald's script Quarter Horse just months earlier, in March of 1958. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now two of the writers behind the X-1 series, Ernest Canoy and George Lefferts, team up for this episode of Dr. Six Gun. Really the brainchild of Canoy, we hear another great broadcast from the series on NBC from Halloween 1954.
Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy. His medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. Gray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
There are many men who say that the history of the West is the history of guns. The Navy Colts of the James Gang, the Smith & Wesson 45, the Winchester Carbine, the Gambler's Tiny Derringer. Well, perhaps this is true in a country where almost all adult males carry firearms, all except me. And who am I? Pablo, the Gypsy Peddler. And this is my friend, Midnight.
Midnight.
He is a raven.
Got you covered.
Hey, you see, he talks.
Reach for the ceiling.
But do not be alarmed. He never carries a gun either. Perhaps he has picked up that philosophy from me. For it is written, he who lives by the sword shall perish by the sword. And I imagine that would hold equally as well for a 45 caliber pistol. But this is not the philosophy adhered to by my friend Doc Sixgun. For he travels leaning slightly to the right from the weight of his gun. I remember once we were traveling together and we entered the cattle town of Rail End in the eastern part of the territory. And Doc and I had both come off circuit. Doc dispensing medicines and good advice, while I attended to the spiritual requirements such as needles and pins and ribbons.
Town's grown since we were in last year, Pablo.
Yes, yes, I see. Six saloons grow where but two grew before.
Well, I suppose that is progress. But I was thinking of that freight depot and the cattle yards down by the railway.
Oh.
Cuts 300 miles off the northern end of the cattle trail from the south.
Which accounts for the saloons. With all those wages being paid out to the cowhands, someone has to take charge of it. We surveyed the street and picked out an imposing edifice with a gold-lettered sign across the entrance which read, The Cattle Palace. And compared to O'Shea's saloon in the town of Frenchman's Ford, it was indeed a palace.
What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
Whiskey for my friend. I'll take a bottle of that Arkansas Springs mineral water if you got it.
Well, mister, I can serve the whiskey, but I can't serve you.
Well, if you don't have the mineral water...
Ain't that. It's your gun.
What about it?
You ain't supposed to have it.
What do you mean?
Well, we got an ordinance here in Rail End. Can't nobody carry a gun except in the law.
No. Well, now, when was that passed?
Oh, last year. It was the marshal's idea.
What do I do with my gun?
You can check it down at the marshal's office, or at the Wells Fargo, or right here at the saloon. Except the boss charges $2 for checking fee. If I was you, I'd tote it down to the marshal's office and get it for free.
Well, I don't mind a quarter, but I'm interested. How's it worked out?
Well, I'll tell you. First couple of weeks, it was a caution. Seemed like when you took a gun away from any one of them cowpokes traveling through, he felt like he was losing his pants.
Yeah, I suppose so. Anybody get hurt?
Yep. One or two unidentified corpses got planted out on Boot Hill with bullets in their eyes. Marshal Landers is a right capable man with firearms.
Does the marshal find it's cut down on the gunplay?
Better ask him, mister. He's right up there, leaning on the bar. The bald fella by the spittoon.
Oh. Well, here's my gun. And here's my $2. You can bring our drinks up by the marshal. Excuse me. Marshal Anders?
Yeah?
I'm Dr. Matson from Frenchman's Ford.
Yeah?
And this is my friend Pablo.
How do you do?
Howdy.
The barkeep's just been telling me about your order.
Oh? Well, now, there are two schools of thought about that. I got the idea from Wyatt Earp at the Dodge. I served under him for a spell at Ellenson, Kansas. He used to claim if you took them deadly weapons off a gang of cowpunchers, no matter how drunk they got, they wasn't no more dangerous than a gang of farmhands back east somewhere. I don't know as I go that far with him, but I can tell you, if I had my choice, when I got a haul of crazy drunk waddy into the pokey on a Saturday night, I'd just as soon I was the only one toting a gun.
I can see that. Barkeep said you had a little gunplay when you enforced the ordinance.
Just enough to keep my hand in. I tell you, Doctor, there's nothing so comforting to a peace officer as to know he can walk down the street with a pretty good chance of getting to the end of it without a slug in his back.
It was a little strange for one used to the lethal atmosphere of the Bull Run to see a whole row of men lined up at the bar with their pants on an even keel, not pulled to one side by the weight of a gun belt and pistol. It was about 11 o'clock in the evening when we saw a practical demonstration of the Rail End Ordinance at work. There was a crash and a clatter outside. The swinging doors burst open, and in the doorway stood a man wavering slightly on his high-heel boots, his hat on the back of his head, and bulking large at each hip, a gun.
I'm wild and I'm woolly, and I'm full of fleas, and I ain't been carried above the knees. And this here's my night to howl.
Eddie.
Yes, Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Get out the back way and look for Marshal Anders.
Well, where should I look, Mr. Fitzsimmons?
You know where to look. Try the Silver Horn, Stockman's Rest, my judge place. If you can't find him anywhere else, go down to his office and see if he's there.
Well, what do you want I should tell him, Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Tell him we got a live one up here with two guns as big as life and twice as natural. Now, go on, get out.
Yes, sir. I'll get him.
Expecting trouble, Barkey?
Mister, in this business, I'm always expecting trouble. And here it comes.
I'm half horse, half alligator. I can whoop my weight in Comanches and wrestle a longhorn steer with my bare hands till it calls uncle. And I'll lick the man that says it ain't so. Barkeep, whiskey.
Sorry, mister, I can't serve you.
Ah, what are you talking about? I got money. Here. I got paid off this morning, and I got $12 left, and I aim to see it gone afore dawn. Now, come on now, whiskey, and fill the glass up till she sparkles and twinkles like a pretty girl on a hayride.
Sorry, mister, I just can't.
Huh? What do you mean?
I just can't serve you, that's all. Be as much as my job.
Now, barkeep, you're getting downright insulting.
Now, keep your shirt on, cowboy.
Now, listen here. I ain't no mood for stalling around. You listen to me, you pot-bellied weasel with them two spit curls hanging down over your eyes. You get a glass of whiskey up here on the bar, or I'm liable to lay you out behind it. I'm fast losing my patience.
It ain't nothing personal, cowboy. It's your gun. You gotta check him before you can get served a drink.
Huh? What are you talking about? Are you local?
That's the city ordinance. Ain't nobody can carry guns inside of town.
Who says I can't? You? Why, I'll line a bullet through each one of your ears.
No, take it easy. I told you it wasn't me.
Then who is it? Who says I can't carry my own gun?
I do.
And who are you? Oh, I see you got the tin star on your vest. You must be the marshal.
That's right. Now, listen to me, cowboy.
Huh?
I'll give you just 3 to check your guns peaceable at the bar here, or else I'll take them away from you myself.
Like to see you do that.
You will. All right, cowboy. 1.
What kind of a crazy law is that? Man can't carry his own guns? Well, I paid for them myself.
2.
Hey, what have you got here in this town, a saloon or a church social?
3. All right, now, cowboy. I'll take your gun.
Hey, what you hit me with, Marshal?
Brass knuckles, cowboy. My hands ain't as hard as they used to be. On your feet and come with me.
What do you mean? You got my guns, haven't you? What more do you want?
10 days of your time in the cooler.
10 days? For what?
Resisting an officer. Now, on your feet. Let's get going.
And so, the ordinance in the town of Rail End was enforced by Marshal Anders. Doc was very impressed.
You know, Pablo, that ordinance, that must be the answer. Half the shootings in Frenchman's Ford are either from some kind of drunken horseplay or cowpoke with an exaggerated sense of humor.
Huh?
Why, it's like the Middle Ages when everybody wore a sword and fought all the time. Take the guns away and they won't be so quick to fight.
Oh, you think not, eh?
Why, sure. Man doesn't really expect to get hit with a bullet. But he knows darn well that if he gets into a fist fight, he's liable to get a mouthful of knuckles.
But, Doc, do you think such an ordinance would work in Frenchman's Fort?
Well, I don't know, but I'd sure like to see it tried. I get awful tired of probing for bullets and sewing up wounds. I've got more important things to do.
Doc tried to convince the town of Frenchman's Ford to endorse such an ordinance, but without notable success. O'Shea at the Bull Run Saloon expressed the most frequent objection.
Doc, you just can't change human nature. Now a cowhand is just going to naturally carry a gun. I always have, and I always will.
But I tell you, I've seen it work in Rail End.
Well, now, it might work in a real citified eastern kind of place like Rail End. But out here in the territory, it's just flying in the face of nature.
Now, don't you try to tell me about nature, O'Shea. I've delivered a good many infants in my time, and not one of them arrived packing a cartridge belt, holster, and 45 pistol.
Yeah, well, you got a point, Doc. But I'm telling you, it just won't work.
Doc got no help in his campaign. The sheriff, who might be expected to approve such a move, put it this way.
Well, now, Doc, you got to figure it this way. Ain't a man gets himself in trouble with the law. It's the law gets itself in trouble with a man.
Oh, now, that's ridiculous, Sheriff.
The way I figure it, the less laws there are around here, the less fellas are going to be tempted to break them.
Maybe you'd just be afraid to enforce an ordinance like that.
Well, maybe you got something there, Doc. I ain't no Wyatt Earp, and I ain't no Milton Anders either. I don't care if them crazy cowhands shoot each other full of holes. Just so long as they don't steal no horses or rustle no cows or get fancy ideas about the U.S. mail. Ain't gonna get nowhere around here trying to separate no man from his guns.
But still, the bright picture of a revolverless town glimmered before Doc until the whole matter became a town joke and all serious possibility of putting it into effect disappeared. And so, the next spring, when Doc and I again rode into the town of Rail End, Doc was a little thoughtful and a little sad.
Well, suppose we might as well stop in at the marshal's office and check my gun, Pablo. Mm. No point in paying 2 bits to the cattle palace.
Well, I'll meet you down there. I'll have your, the mineral water waiting for you?
Well, just you make sure there's a head on it.
Oh, I'll have it waiting.
See you.
Yes? What can I do for you?
I'm looking for the marshal.
What do you want with him?
Oh, just wanted to say hello and check my gun.
I'll take your gun.
You a deputy?
No.
Well, where's Marshal Anders?
Ain't no such animal.
What do you mean?
Anders ain't Marshal no more. I am.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Happened a month ago. What's your name, mister?
Matson. Dr. Matson, Frenchman's Ford.
All right, Doc. Just hand over your gun.
What happened to Anders?
Nothing. He just ain't Marshal anymore.
Well, here's my gun. If you see Anders, tell him I asked after him, will you?
Sure, I will. Just keep your nose clean in my town, Doc.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Just what it sounds like. You can pick your gun up on the way out of town.
I was waiting for Doc at the Cattle Palace. It hadn't changed in the year except for the addition of an oil painting. A nymph who would have, had she been in three dimensions, fallen over immediately on her face. There was a distinct difference in the quality of the liquid refreshment, and I was debating this fact with the barkeep when Doc came up.
Now, listen here, peddler. You asked for whiskey, and I served you a glass.
What's the trouble, Pablo?
Doc, I have often drunk bad whiskey. I've sometimes drunk bad water. But I object to them being combined.
Now, listen, mister. Don't let your friend here make a fuss. It'll only get us all into trouble.
That whiskey really watered?
You may take my word for it, Doc. It's strange. It was not so last year.
There are a lot of things changed since last year.
You having any trouble, Fitzsimmons?
No, no, Mr. Carson. No trouble at all. Just talking to a couple old friends, that's all.
Yeah? Well, just call me if there's anything wrong. That's what I'm here for.
Oh, sure I will. Ain't no trouble, none at all.
When you get through, bring a double over to my table.
Sure, Mr. Carson. Glad to. Now, you see what you could have done? Now, if you don't want the whiskey, just get out quiet, will you? Don't make no trouble.
Who was that?
Gandy Carson. He's a deputy marshal.
Does the marshal's office always take such a close interest in your clientele?
There's a deputy in all the places up and down the street. Keeps order, you know.
Uh-huh. I suppose you're bringing him his drink on the house.
Why, sure.
And all he does is keep order here in the saloon?
Sure, he's a deputy, ain't he?
Huh, I suppose so. Anyway, he has the star. Say, do you know if Milda Anders is still in town?
Now, listen, mister. Will you drink that poison mineral water or whatever you got and take your business across the street to the stockman's rest? I got enough trouble.
Now, listen. What happened to Anders?
You'll excuse me, gentlemen. I got to serve Mr. Carson.
At about 3 o'clock in the morning, Doc and I were sleeping in our room at the hotel.
Look. Who's there?
Doctor?
What's the matter? Somebody sick?
Let me in.
Just a minute.
Doc, what is it?
Someone at the door.
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
Come in, Doctor.
Who is that?
Milton Anders.
Oh, Mr. Anders. Come on in. Anything wrong? Somebody sick?
No. Leastwise, not the way you mean.
Well, wait a minute. I'll light the lamp.
No, don't bother. I heard you was asking for me.
That's right.
Anything special?
Why, no. I just thought I'd say hello.
That isn't the impression you gave Cal Benson.
You mean the new marshal?
That's right. He gave orders to have you run out of town tomorrow morning.
What?
That's why I came to see you tonight. When you open that door tomorrow morning, there'll probably be a couple of his deputies waiting for you.
What for? What charge could he have against me?
Practicing medicine without proper qualifications.
That's ridiculous. For one thing, I haven't even been practicing medicine in Rail End. And for another, I'm...
Save your breath to cool your coffee, Doc. You got a choice. You can either wait and get heaved out tomorrow morning, or ride out with me now.
Hey, what is this? What's going on here? We came into this town last year, and why, it was peaceful as a church.
Yeah, that was last year.
Well, what happened? Who is this Benson? How'd he get to be marshal?
Let's hold that, Doc. I don't know as I can discuss Cal Benson without raising my voice. And I wouldn't want to get overheard right now.
But how'd he get to be marshal?
That's the way it is with politics, Doc. In Washington, in the territorial capital, Republicans come and go, and so do the Democrats. They take care of their own. That's why I got appointed in the first place. Right now, Benson's in and I'm out. Look, Doc, I suggest you make up your mind whether you're going to leave town on your own steam or on request.
Well, I suppose I might as well go with you. Pablo?
Oh, I'm with you, Doc. You know, I have been asked to leave places several times in my career, and it is not always a pleasant sensation.
Well, let's go then.
I'll just poke the fire up. Not a bad place up here in the hills. Ain't as cozy as the marshal's office. But it does.
What happened in Railand, Mr. Andrews? Who is this Benson?
He's the marshal. Only man in town that can carry a gun.
I took care of that for him. But what's he doing?
I'd say Cal Benson and his buddies are having a rare old time. They got all the saloons and places of entertainment lined up. They got a kick and a percentage of the take for extra protection.
Yes, we saw that in operation.
Benson has a take on every head of cattle that goes through the railroad pens. He's got to deal with the roads for protection.
You mean the railroads are paying him off, too?
Sure. It's worth it to them. And that ain't the whole of it. You can walk down the streets of Railand and see killers and rustlers from all over the territory, looking like butter wouldn't melt in their mouths, and safe as in a church.
How's that?
Well, welcome, Doc. Just so long as they park their guns.
And they agree to do that?
Sure. With a marshal, the only one who can carry a shooting iron, they got nothing to be afraid of. Not so long as they pay him off.
But can't you do something?
Who? Me? There's a warrant out for my arrest.
What for?
You see, somehow or other, the telegram from the territorial capital replacing me with Benson got delivered to him. He stepped up to me at the bar in the Stockman's Rest and tried to arrest me for carrying a gun. He didn't mention the wire till after I put a bullet through one of his deputies who tried to jump me from behind. I'm wanted for murder.
But can't you fight it out?
There's a lot of them. And only one me. I ain't that good with a gun. Nobody is.
Well, suppose you gave yourself up. They'd have to ship you to the circuit court for trial. Your case would stand up.
Doc, it's sure a caution how many prisoners Benson's holding in that jail that suddenly get shot trying to escape.
Oh.
I really rigged myself a rabbit trap, Doc. And it's got me by the leg for fair.
You mean the ordinance?
I remember when I put it through. Lawyer Hendershot told me there was something in the Constitution about the right of the people to bear arms. I told him I wasn't interested in the Constitution. I had a herd of wild animals to corral. And if I could dehorn them, I was gonna. That's the way I looked at it, Doc. I wasn't stepping on nobody's toes but murderers and drunk, peace-breaking cowpokes.
Well, you couldn't have foreseen what Benson's doing.
Nope, I couldn't. So I just went ahead, didn't I? Funny, ain't it?
Very.
Oh, I was right in the way, Doc. A town like Railand ain't going to be worth much with shootings and law-breaking. But I reckon I was trying the shortcut, huh? I sure made it easy for Cal Benson.
Mr. Anders, what are you going to do?
I figure on sneaking down through Texas and shipping out. They're starting in with cattle down in South America. I used to know something about punching cows. I reckon I could learn to do it in Spanish.
There must be some way to clean Benson out.
I reckon there is, Doc. But it ain't my way. I'll leave it a hand a shot to somebody like that. I messed it up enough. Who would figure just chipping a piece off a thing like a constitution would end me up chasing longhorns in Argentina?
Well, there is no heroic end to this tale. The town of Railand is still under Marshal Benson, And there is some hope that after the next election there may be a change. But I doubt it. For one thing, the opposition candidate, a young lawyer named Hendershot, was killed by a deputy marshal who claimed he mistook him for a rustler. There was one aftermath. We rode into Frenchman's Ford on a Saturday night and stopped at the Bull Run. There was a gay frolic underway as we entered. Doc, my friend, I think that after tonight, you might convince O'Shea to back your ordinance against guns.
No, Pablo, I'm afraid I've lost enthusiasm for that ordinance. Let them carry their guns. Someday they'll put them aside. May not be as easy as taking them away now, but in the long run, that's a pretty sound document, that Constitution. It's worth sewing up a few bullet holes
for. Dr. Six Gun, starring Carl Weber, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 31st, 1954, on NBC. That wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.